The Church Somnolent by Robert Royal. But first a note, the church needs to be woke in the right way, as explained below. And here at TCT, we're working on it. If you'd like to see that happen too, now's the time to help us move things along. We're in the last days of our funding campaign this week. We know you come here because you value what we do. What are you waiting for? Now for today's column. Among the many things that the current church seems no longer awake to is a crucial trinity: the church militant, the church penitent, and the church triumphant. If you didn't learn about those three growing up, they're not so hard to understand. The Catechism of the Catholic Church puts it simply under the rubric the communion of the Church of Heaven and Earth, the three states of the Church. When the Lord comes in glory, and all his angels with him, death will be no more, and all things will be subject to him. But at the present time, some of his disciples are pilgrims on earth, i.e., church militant. Others have died and are being purified, i.e., church penitent, while still others are in glory, i.e., church triumphant, contemplating in full light God himself, triune and one, exactly as he is. It's worth noting, among other notables in this passage, that the church militant is not just out for a stroll. It's headed in a definite direction and, given the threats within and without, is engaged in what used to be called spiritual combat. It would be hard to say that the recent focus on walking together gets all that. The church militant pilgrimage includes much more than endless conversation, in which the process itself is more important than the final destination. It's about the literal, and in the deepest possible sense, struggle to arrive, in the end of time, at the unity of heaven and earth. All this used to be understood as the very reason for the faith and the Lord's coming into the world, as we will remember at Christmas, to redeem us from sin and death. Perhaps the present writer has spent too much time lately contemplating the eccentricities in Rome. But all this came, unbidden, to mind when I saw recently that Pope Francis, as part of his Borgo Laudato Si project, is building an eco-village near Castel Gandolfo for the 2025 Jubilee. That eco-village will provide an immersive experience in order to share with as many people as possible the beauty that there is in caring for creation. I'm a fervent believer in the general direction of Pope Francis's efforts at an integral human ecology, which is to say, waking people up the right way to be woke, from the obsession with screens to the fact that we live within a creation, an order designed by God. And as many saints and sages have remarked, that order teaches us about the Creator and about ourselves as creatures. Indeed, what we call nature has sometimes been referred to as God's second book of Revelation, properly understood, alongside his fuller revelation in the Scriptures. But it's in the specifics, as opposed to the general direction, that my worries begin about the eco-village. One report, for instance, explains, "Trees will guide the visitors through the park." Donatella Parisi, communication coordinator of Laudato Si Higher Education Center, said, "They will be greeted by Methusalem, a 700-year-old oak. Trees have a lot to teach us about human relations," she said, pointing to how they communicate in a horizontal model and warn each other of threats. Really? Any lover of Tolkien, indeed, any human being who loves the world, should appreciate anything at this juncture in human history that wakes us up to the beauty and value of trees and everything growing on earth. But you can already feel the straining towards a manufactured, almost ideological significance here. Yes, love trees, but as teachers about human relations? And it doesn't stop there. We're told that the Borgo will teach vulnerable groups, including migrants and refugees, former prisoners, disabled individuals, and victims of human trafficking, how to care for gardens and land in a sustainable way. It's a good thing, to be sure, for the church to work with everyone, as she has always done. But when you read this list in the context, which also includes the banning of plastic, electric vehicles only, zero water waste, etc., it's hard not to think of this as a boutique project for elites. Not a serious educational effort, let alone a contribution to the church's mission of reuniting earth and heaven. Because outside of carefully manicured gardens, which are fine in themselves where they can be managed, nature in our fallen world is not so benign. And its challenges do not result merely from disorders introduced by fallen human nature. Those challenges should also be part of any truthful effort to understand our situation on earth. By all means, We should strive to be at peace with nature, as with our neighbors. But the human race has had to develop some powerful means, often not very nice means, of defending itself from animal predators, microbes, droughts, floods, earthquakes, heat and cold, as well as human malefactors. The day after Christmas in 2004, an undersea earthquake off the coast of Sumatra produced a tsunami that killed around 250,000 people in 14 countries. As we learned during the COVID panic, the Spanish flu pandemic from 1918 to 1920 killed at least 17 million people worldwide. Some estimates even say multiples of that figure. Not to be outdone by inanimate nature, communism alone killed 100 million people in the 20th century. The church quite properly encourages us to cultivate our gardens and reject war. But it often forgets lately that it is a church militant, that we are no longer in the Garden of Eden, and even the desire to reconstruct that garden often leads us to the Tower of Babel. Or worse, until Christ comes again, we have to wrestle with nature and with human nature. And to do so, we must fully awake to our situation, not the church somnolent. The church needs to be properly woke, to awaken from the utopian dreams we see all around us in the culture. It's not a comfortable thing to live in a fallen world, but a false comfort will only make things worse.